Welcome to Seagull Eagle, the only podcast where a Palace fan and a Brighton fan can ruin each other's day for your listening pleasure.
I'm Palace, he's Brighton, the weirdest double act since someone put pineapple on a pizza. In this week's pod,
do Palace know the transfer window is open, or has Steve Parish lost the club credit card?
And we all know that Chelsea are trying to be like Brighton, but now are Brighton starting to be like Chelsea? Tony, how big is that checkbook?
We've also got a statement our legal team insists we read out. And brand new strange football rivalries.
Plus, a Europa League update and the latest news from both clubs. Brace yourselves, everyone. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
This is Seagull Eagle.
All right, Neil.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it?
It's been a fun week. I've really enjoyed it. I've got lots of business all over the socials, lots of people commenting. It's been a great fun, hasn't it?
Mate, we've broken records this week. We've got our highest ever listeners last week. Yeah. Actually, we've got a really short week as well because we recorded it late last week. It's my fault. so yeah, we're back in the studio on Monday and hopefully quite a few new people listening this week. And just, I think from my point of view and hopefully from yours, it's been lovely this week because on the socials, we do it together, don't we? We've both got access to the accounts, to all of them, and we try and kind of interact with as many people as possible over the week. And it's been lovely because my phone's just been pinging all week going, I'm Brighton, I'm Seagulls, or I'm Eagles, or I'm Palace.
Yeah.
It feels like there's now rules as to how to reply to our Facebook posts and X and all the other bits and pieces. So, yeah, look, it's been really good fun. And thank you to everybody who's reached out. I think we've had a good bit of banter with all of you. I think the most memorable one was someone put something about Eagles eating Seagulls for breakfast.
Cannibalism here on Seagull Eagle, everyone. Blimey. Yeah, that's worrying.
But then, and my reply was, seagulls also have crabs. So there you go.
We've gone there already.
If you want that kind of level of banter, everybody, do feel free to give us a message.
I echo those words. Thank you, everyone, for getting in touch. And also just thanks for all the follows and the likes and all the listens, more importantly. We really appreciate it. And don't forget, you can press follow on all those streaming apps so that you get that new podcast and the new episode straight into your inbox. We'd love you to do that so we know that you're listening to us. Thank you so much.
That was a nice seamless plug there.
I tried my best.
You should get your own YouTube channel. Do you know what I mean?
We've got one, mate. You can watch us on YouTube as well.
Have we?
Well, I say watch us. At the moment, we're not showing our faces, are we? Maybe that's something we need to do next season.
There's a good reason for that.
Well, yeah. Good point. Yeah. Right, what have we got to talk about today?
Well, we've got... this is embarrassing, this is.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Last week, do you remember we did that strange football rivalries?
How can I forget?
It was your new idea, wasn't it?
It was.
Like, Andy got a great idea. Like, we've got a strange football rivalry. Let's find out about everyone else. And I came back to him and was like, great, but should we talk about our one first?
Yeah, exactly.
I wish we hadn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could have gone better.
but do you know what? I mean, the positives on this are that a few people have reached out to us to give us their opinions on a few things that we said.
I mean, we say a few things. It centres around one particular thing that one of us in particular was hanging on to, wasn't it?
I don't know if I was hanging on to it, but yeah, it's a thing called Poogate, isn't it? And we mentioned it last week, and I really apologise if anybody is offended by anything that he said coming up, but I feel like we do have to address it, because here's the truth. There was a guy called Steve Pinnock, I believe his name is, right. And he's been listening since episode one. He's a postie.
Nice. Hi, Steve.
There you go. And he...
don't drop that letter, pick it up.
Absolutely. And he sent us an email.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know if you know, but you got Poogate wrong. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So there was a bit of a backwards and forwards. And the situation was that we didn't quite get the right slant on it.
Right. Okay.
So just as a recap for anyone that wasn't listening last week, without going into too much gory detail. We won't go into too much gory detail.
They could just listen back the last episode, mate. They don't need to hear it again.
They've got a spare hour. I mean... In essence, it was that moment where Palace accused Brighton of smearing the dressing room on purpose.
Yeah. Basically, 2013 playoff semi-final. Yeah, that moment. Yeah.
Like a dirty protest in some respect. And we now have new evidence, Neil.
Right. Okay.
New evidence has surfaced. Direct, in fact, from Palace legends. And I don't know if anyone will remember these two players.
You just said they were legends. Make your mind up. They can't either be legends and then you're saying, does anyone even remember them?
Firstly, calm down. And secondly, I was more thinking of the Brighton fans.
Well, we definitely don't remember
less.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was what I was saying. Anyway, Aaron Wilbraham and Paddy McCarthy.
Right.
They were players from that team that went into that dressing room on that well-remembered day.
Oh, okay. So pretty much the horse's mouth then.
Yeah. And according to them, it wasn't sabotage. It was, in fact, Neil, the Palace bus driver.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so much better.
Yeah, well, I bet he did as well. And the bus driver needed to go and he turned up, couldn't get in the toilets, went into the dressing room and turned the dressing room into some kind of Jackson Pollock thing.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah. And to make it worse, Neil, you love me talking about this, but we need to go into the detail because this is important because we need to, you know, put the truth right, put it out there.
Okay.
To make it worse, there was no toilet roll. Right? So he mopped it up with some of those, do you know them like stiff blue hand towels that you get?
Oh,
right. Yeah, things. You know, like the ones that barely soak up a tear, never mind a toilet tragedy. And so that's kind of what made
the mess, we get it.
So what I would say to everybody right now is next time you're watching Palace in the Premier League, just remember that none of this would be possible without that bus driver and his dodgy stomach with no sense of direction. And none of this would have happened if Brighton had changed the bog roll in the dressing room that day.
You're welcome.
That's true. So to conclude, Poogate, proof that sometimes success really does come out of a crap situation. You can't polish a turd, but you can get promoted off of one. And the only thing that Palace flushed was Brighton's playoff dreams nowadays.
Oh, God, really? Pun after pun. Look, right at the beginning of this, I mentioned that our legal team have been in touch with us.
They have.
What's going on?
Why do I have to deal with the legal team?
Listen, mate, I'm all over the editing. You're the legal team. We said this at the beginning.
Well,
there's a reason you normally have to deal with them.
There is, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yes, there is a statement that we've been forcibly told to read. I guess I'll just crack on, Neil. All right?
Go on, then.
Here we go. Official statement, Seagull Eagle podcast. We, the Seagull Eagle podcast team...
Hang on. We? It was definitely the Croydon side of this podcast that was making the wild accusations last week. Not beautiful Sussex by the sea.
Yeah, I think it was me that was upsetting most people with the word poo over and over again. But you did mention a certain Brighton manager that might have got us into trouble. Bear with me, Neil. We, the Seagull Eagle podcast team, would like to issue a full and frank apology to Mr. Gus Poyet for dragging his good and reputable name through the mud. Or should we say through something far smellier?
Stop it.
In last week's episode about Poogate, it turns out Gus had absolutely nothing to do with the toilet situation at the Amex back in 2013. In fact, he bravely tried to get to the bottom of it, quite literally, by writing a strongly worded letter to the entire Brighton staff, demanding to know who dropped the infamous playoff plopper. While some managers lose the dressing room, Gus had to cope with someone losing their bowels in the dressing room. And for that, we recognise his courage and composure under deeply unsanitary conditions. So from all of us, Neil, here at the Seagull Eagle podcast, Gus, we're really sorry for implying that you had anything to do with...
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3, while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
That rogue log that helped Palace power wipe Brighton out of the playoffs.
Oh, God.
In fact, we'd like to thank you for trying to clean up this mess long before we ever spoke about it. You really did do everything you could to flush out the truth.
Oh, my God.
Yours apologetically, the Seagull Eagle podcast team.
Can that be it now? Can we move on?
Well, that should clear it all up, right? We should be all right now.
Yes. I think that's absolutely fine. I think we've covered every base we can possibly think of.
Yep.
I think we should just draw a line under it and move on.
Okay. Game.
What are we going to talk about next?
Well, when we're going to court, or... I don't know. I feel a bit nervous about this now.
No, we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Are we going to be all right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Look, we talked about this in the intro. Brighton or Chelsea? Which one are you these days? I don't think you know. I mean, you've
not
got,
that bad.
You're going to have to expand your dressing room soon, aren't you? You're going to have more players out on loan than you got in your first team squad. What's going on at your club? We do
currently have, I think it's 43 players, I think it is, which is a large number of senior players, obviously, for squad size. I think there's only two teams that have larger in the whole of the other five leagues, big five leagues.
How many did you say, 40?
I think it's 43, I think we have
43.
At the moment.
43, and how many of them are finished school?
Yeah, all right, whatever. Look, the top five leagues across the main top five leagues, the biggest squad sizes, Chelsea have 46, Como have 44, and Brighton have 43, so we're third in that list. But that's only as of right now. I fully expect a lot of exits, and I can talk about a few exits that have already started to happen. So,
do you know what? You're right. I mean, I do joke, and part of it is absolute jealousy by the fact that we haven't worked out the windows even open. But I think you are right. You do your business sensibly, and we know that. And I hate giving a compliment to Brighton, but you're right. You will buy people before you get rid of them.
Yeah, we're in that lucky position where we've got a lot of money to be able to buy stuff up front.
Yeah.
Buy players.
Yeah, that's horrible. Respect.
Yeah, apologies. Buy players up front and then do our business by getting rid of the other players or moving them on, loaning or whatever. So, yep. We have another one through the door.
Another one.
Maxim Dekuyper, who is a defender, left-sided defender. Well, see, even the word defender is a little bit of a loose term from what a lot of people are saying to me online. But Maxim Dekuyper, we've got him from Bruges.
And okay.
He has signed a five-year contract, and he is he's a bit of a surprise, to be honest. So I saw that we were in for him maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago, but I didn't mention anything because it was really unconfirmed. Plus, I could also see that there were clubs like AC Milan, Atalanta, I think even your mob were looking at him as well. And so I didn't think any more of it. Then suddenly, Sunday morning, all hell broke loose, and suddenly he was flying over to Brighton for, you know, medical and all this sort of stuff. So they broke through, they got the deal done as quickly as possible, and lo and behold, yeah, he's signed for Brighton.
So he's actually been announced, is he?
He's been announced, yeah. Wow. It's really exciting, I think, because he's clearly an attacking defender, and a lot of people would argue that he's not even a defender, he's a left-sided almost wing back or winger or whatever. So, but he has played left back for Bruges and done a lot of business at Bruges. He's been there a long time, but he won the league in 23-24. He's been in the Europa Conference League, Champions League. He won the cup last year with them. He's played for Belgium as well. He's got 10 caps for Belgium. So, you know, he's doing all right. To get into a Belgian side, you've got to be pretty good, haven't you, really?
Oh, God, yeah.
So, yeah, it's a really good deal. I'm just surprised that it was done so quickly. And one little side story, actually. You know Fabrizio Romano, the big transfer guru?
Good mate of mine.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, yeah. So Brighton have a bit of a love-hate relationship with this guy. Ever since the Mark Cucurella sale, it all went a bit weird because Cucurella was playing up and talking to his agents. The agents were talking to Fabrizio Romano and getting these messages out and stuff. So it's always been a bit of a love-hate relationship. And you know what Fabrizio does? He does this thing where he tweets out, like, just before the club announce something, he tweets it out, so he's first and things. And things like, you know, like Florian Wirtz and Liverpool official in 2 minutes, and then lo and behold, 2 minutes, you know, the club comes out and all the yeah. stuff. Yeah, so Albion's admin had a little fun at that this week, which was quite funny. So they tweeted just this. They went, Maxim Dekuyper and Brighton official in 2 minutes, but the club did it themselves.
Brilliant.
Which I thought was really good. And then literally 2 minutes later, obviously, the
very
official
good.
Stuff came out as well. But yeah, it was just very funny to watch. Really pleased we got him in. Left-sided defender is something we've been screaming out for a while.
Yeah.
Does make me worry that's the end of Purvis, possibly. You'd have to think. It's interesting, though, because Fabian Hertz, the quote that was on this particular purchase. He has a great reputation for creativity and has shown his ability across different positions. Although we primarily see him challenging for a left-back spot with us.
Hmm.
Which is an interesting word to use, challenging for that. But I think that's just politeness, pretending that Purvis is staying. I don't know, we'll have to see. But yeah, so he's through the door, really pleased about that. Good quality player, left-sided, which we've been screaming out for. So yeah, really, really pleased.
I think you've definitely got a defence next year now, haven't you?
We have definitely got a defence. And you know, I still think we might see a couple of exits. Mm. We can talk about those later. But yeah, really good news from our point of view. We did have a couple of outs as well, or three outs actually now, because as a time of recording, I just got another one through. So we have actually sold a player as well.
Oh, well done.
Well, Odell Ofaya, 22-year-old defender, hasn't played a lot for Albion over the last few years.
I actually genuinely never...
No, you wouldn't have. He's only made 10 appearances, but at the back end of De Zerbi's reign, he played a few times. We had a few injuries. He played in Europe a couple of times for us. Young defender, really good quality, but just not quite at the level he needs to be, I would say. Spent last season on loan at Blackpool for the first half and then Hearts in the second half. He's left us now. He's actually completed a permanent move to Preston North End, which we think is around £1 to £1.5 million for him. Okay. So he's off on his way. So good luck to you, Odell. And then we've got a couple of loans agreed for our younger players as well. Amario Kosi-Adubri, who is the... What's funny about that?
Just a hell of a name, isn't it?
I like it.
Just flowed off your tongue then. You've been practising that one, haven't you?
I have actually, to be fair. Amario Kosi-Adubri. See, I did it again.
Very good.
20-year-old winger that we got from Arsenal, we signed last year. He was on loan last season at Blackburn. We sent him out again, this time to League One, to Bolton. And then a few hours ago, it was confirmed that Mark Omani, who was on loan last year at Portsmouth, is a 20-year-old striker of ours as well, another Irish kid. He is being loaned out to Reading this season, who are now in League One because they got relegated. So, yeah, expect to see him in a hoops shirt very soon for Reading. So that's three outs, two on loan, one actually gone, left the club. Yeah, busy week. I mean, we're starting to see the outs as well now. There's a few other rumours of people leaving, which we can talk about in part two. Palace, how's that going, mate?
Oh, I don't know where to start, Neil.
Oh, it's been so busy for
inundated, mate. Absolutely inundated. Well, what we thought we'd do is just let you guys do your bit of business first.
Very kind of you.
Let you work out who you've signed so everyone can Google them, and then we'll just kind of get busy and start making some impacts.
Okay.
Maybe we found out where we're playing next year.
How many official signings have you had this week?
None. So far... All we've really had is Walter Benitez in nil three.
Mm.
But look, we know why the hold-up's here,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Everyone knows that. We don't have to go through it all. It's going to be really hard to commit your future to a club if you're that calibre of player that you don't know whether you're going to be playing in Europe or not. But look, we have got, I believe, probably by the time this podcast comes out, everyone will be calling it a done deal, Borna Sosa.
Yes, saw this.
So apparently he's flown over, had a medical today, and subject to medical, and obviously Crystal Palace spending a week making some kind of over-elaborate reveal video, which normally delays things, we've had somewhere between a £2 and £3 million offer accepted. I say that because it's all according... what source you take as to whether it was £2 or £3 million in pounds or in euros. So the truth is, I don't think anyone actually knows. But I think the answer, Neil, not much
right
for a player, right?
Yeah.
And a player such as this. 27-year-old, Ajax left back. He was on loan last season at Torino.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still got 3 years left on his Ajax contract, believe it or
really?
Not. He would... be perfect for our 3-4-2-1 system and could provide very, very, very good competition for Mr. Tyrick Mitchell.
Yeah, you can see it, can't you? When you see how this kid he plays, you can see where he fits in very well into your formation. And yeah, I mean, one thing he has got
is he is an excellent crosser of the ball.
And this is what I'm excited about, yeah, because we have had that problem where we're beating them all in the midfield and then that final ball comes in and it's not quite where, bearing in mind you haven't got that amount of people in the box at Palace at that point, you've got to pinpoint it. So,
and I think what you've got there is a great squad player, and depending on the team you're playing, you've got Tariq Mitchell, who maybe you probably should argue is much better at defending than attacking. I think that's fair.
Yeah, he's been developing his wing-back abilities.
He's a natural defender, though, isn't he?
Yeah. You know,
whereas this kid, I would say, yeah, he's much more comfortable moving forward, and as I said, he's a very good crosser of the ball.
Bearing in mind, Mitchell pretty much played every minute of last season, so it's a bit of a tricky one that when you look at cover in these certain areas.
Okay, so that looks like it's pretty much a done deal then, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, Ben Chilwell gone back to Chelsea, so obviously he was the cover for Mitchell. Look, this guy, he had his best season when he was at Stuttgart. Right. And he set up 35 goals in 115 appearances from, in essence, a wing-back position. That's phenomenal, as you were saying about his crossing ability. Very much like Munez, but on the other wing. I mean, imagine having two Munezes in your team.
Wow.
He also played for Croatia on their 2022 World Cup run.
Nice.
Which led them to the semi-finals as well. So there you go. That's pretty much all I've got. But what I do like to hear is that we really needed to strengthen in goalkeeper, left back and right back. And I think we've got, if that's true, we've got two out of the three with a rumour of another one, which we'll talk about later. When I say that, I mean, that's not kind of, oh, what do I want? That's what do I need?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, in terms of if that player's injured, you've got a 34-year-old veteran who's your next choice option. Do you know what I mean? Not such bad news from my perspective.
I agree. You're getting the really important ones just done and dusted. Squad players, obviously, but still really important.
But to be able to do any business in this chaos, they're, you know, fair play to them.
Speaking of this chaos,
yep.
Do we want to talk? Can I keep you to a 2-minute highlights reel reel?
You don't even need that.
No.
There ain't much to say. Basically, we talked about it all last week, but I think the only real update is that obviously now it's all been delayed again.
Yeah.
And now our decision as to whether we're going to play in the Europa League rides on ridiculously Lyon's recent relegation and their state of their finances. So obviously they've appealed their relegation decision and have agreed to forfeit their place in Europe if the appeal fails. They've been told they've got to balance the books or they get demoted to League Two and obviously forfeit their Europa League position. That means in turn that we haven't got a case to answer because we'd get their place anyway. So UEFA have just gone, actually, we don't need to make a decision. Let's wait for someone else to make one for us, in essence. Rumour has it, Neil, that Lyon have got to find 172 million to fill their black hole. And our good mate at Nottingham Forest is trying to help them do it.
Yeah, he is. He really is. But we're just going to have to keep that clock ticking over and hope that we're going to get some news next week, sooner or later. But blimey, I can't believe it's taken this long. I really can't.
Well, they said that the appeal was meant to have been on Friday, but then someone else has now said that the appeal is going to be at some point this week. And it's a bit like, how much are we going to sign that player for? No one knows. People are just saying stuff. So let's just wait and Google it every day and see if anyone can tell us anymore.
Fair enough. Okay, Farron, I think we'll probably take a break. Just before we do, I think it's probably only right we just add our own words to what was a really tragic and sad story this week.
Yeah.
We know that a lot of people have had their say already and said lots of lovely, beautiful words. And we all know what a sad week it's been with Diogo Jota and his brother André Silva sadly losing their lives.
Can't believe it, Neil. It's mad.
It's just such a shock, wasn't it, to everyone? It really was. Just wanted to add our voice to all the messages of condolence and love to the family, friends, and anyone really that's been affected by the terribly, terribly sad news. We are sending love from Seagull Eagle.
Welcome back, everybody. Right, what else has been happening last week in the news for both clubs. I think we should start because, do you remember we were talking last week about, we've been mentioning the pre-season friendlies. Mm. Palace have obviously got Crawley Town coming up.
Yes.
And they're heading out to Austria to do some training games out there.
Yeah.
With some of the Bundesliga. And we now have another confirmed friendly.
Oh, exciting.
And I'm going to say something controversial, Neil.
Oh.
This is actually against our rivals.
Let me guess. Millwall?
Yeah.
You actually got a friendly against Millwall?
Yeah, who I actually see as our proper rivals.
Well, I can understand that
rivals,
geographically, yeah.
Right? And I mean, they tried to kill Mateta, for Christ's sake. this is a proper grudge match as opposed to this thing that's turned into the Brighton Palace thing, which is a different type of... The Brighton Palace thing is more of a, like... banter, which sometimes turns nasty in certain games, but for me it's like, that's a funny one. The Millwall's like, no, actually I really want to win this.
This is a really strange thing to do then, isn't it? Have a friendly against Millwall?
Yeah, I think someone's lost their mind. I think that's the only explanation here.
Right.
Either that or they're trying to keep the budget down on travel.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I'm not sure. But anyway, the fixture will kick off at midday on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Saturday the 12th.
Yeah.
Take place behind closed doors at the Palace training ground. Yes, we've invited our main enemies behind enemy lines into the training ground. Afternoon tea probably as well. You can't buy a ticket, but what you can do is watch it on Palace TV.
Ah, yes. I saw this advertised. You've got your Palace TV now. But isn't it Palace TV Plus, which would suggest you probably have to pay something somewhere, don't you?
Well, you get it as part of the membership, or if you've got a season ticket plus, you get your Palace TV, which means you can watch all the development games. And you also get, I think, some kind of radio commentary on other games and things like that as well.
Oh, well, that's exciting, though.
On me, the Palace TV, to be brutally honest, from my perspective, is useless throughout the season because we all know we can watch what we want to watch.
Yeah,
but the... obviously legally, but the pre-season, legal to make, we've done the legal thing, all right? Just move on.
He was joking.
I was joking.
Go away.
Where it comes into its own is for these pre-season tours, and I think I've referenced it earlier on the podcast, I watched Palace lift a cup out in America at the beginning of the season, which was lovely. That, at the time when you need it the most, when you're missing your football club, you get to actually watch a game, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
So obviously our last game with Millwall was in the FA Cup fifth round, which we won 3-1 when Liam Roberts auditioned for a UFC contract by drop-kicking Mateta, as I referenced earlier. So there we go. That's good. Have you got any pre-season friendlies?
We've done a bit of detective work.
Oh.
Well, because Brighton, I spoke about the friendlies last week, the ones that have been announced, but it looks like they're going to Spain as well, Albion.
When you say detective work, do you mean stalking? I feel like you've had to find...
Well, a little bit. So Seagulls Over Spain, which is a Facebook page full of loads of people, which you can imagine are based in Spain.
Oh.
They have posted that Las Palmas, the Spanish league, where they've actually been relegated to their La Liga 2 team now.
Oh, right.
They've announced that they'll be playing a friendly against Brighton in Marbella.
In Marbs.
No carbs in Marbs, though. So obviously, that means that Brighton must be going over there, very much like your guys going to Austria. Bit of warm weather training, getting away. It makes sense. A lot of teams do it. Really trying to make the team cohesive with team building and good weather and just really getting away from everyone.
Why do you think they've not announced it then? Do you think they're only maybe going to take half of your 47 million squad and, you know, take the good boys out to Marbella and then the naughty ones get to stay back or what?
I think they just will announce it probably in time. But I think also maybe it's probably because none of these games will be accessible to the public maybe. And so it'll just be we're going away on training. But it's interesting that Las Palmas have announced it. So we'll have to see. My brother lives in Spain and he was very excited about the concept of maybe driving down there on his bike and trying to look over the wall and watch the game or something. So
maybe
I'm sure I'll get
go and see him.
Well, either that or you can send us like a report next week when if it does happen, I'll get him to send us a report in and we can play.
What's
it.
What's his
over
name?
There. Gary.
Gary, live from Marbs.
Exactly, yes.
I like that.
We'll see what happens.
And now over to Gary, live from Marbs.
One of our reporters here at Seagull Eagle. Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it? So we'll see.
Go on, Gary.
So that's all I know at the moment, but I'll keep you posted if we hear anything else or if I get a match report from Gary.
Excellent. I feel like we need to get Gary a feature. We'll work on that one.
Okay.
Come on, Gary.
What else then?
Right, the Gold Cup. Here's a confession, Neil.
Blimey, the Gold Cup.
The Gold Cup. I, up until basically putting this podcast together, really, had heard of such thing as a Gold Cup. Thought it was something to do with horse racing, and really didn't quite understand what it was all about. Was aware that it involved some kind of the Americas and you know, that kind of area, but really didn't quite understand it. And I don't know whether that is that just me, Neil, or is this kind of a common knowledge thing?
I think it depends, doesn't it? It depends on your team, and obviously international people from those areas will know it, but from a UK point of view, I think it depends. If you've got players that are playing in it, then you hear a little bit about it from your club or whatever. But yeah, no, I understand that. There's a few of those tournaments around that maybe us, being a little bit more centric to the English and the UK game, probably don't notice so much, but it's a big thing.
Yeah, so I mean, it takes place every 2 years, I think, and features international teams from North and Central America and the Caribbean.
Yes, that's right.
But also this year, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, so they invite other sort of areas from time to time. So there's a, you ever heard of the Confederation Cup as well?
Yeah.
So that's a similar sort of concept, that you have the winners of like the European sort of championships for international teams and things like that. So this is a similar sort of concept. But yeah, North America, America, Saudi Arabia. In the past, I think South Korea were invited as well. Japan have done it, I think, in the past as well. So
there you go, listeners. I mean, this isn't just entertaining. This is educating, right? We're learning something here. Well, I am anyway. Well, look, the reason that I brought it up is because our central defender, Chris Richards, obviously represents the United States of America.
Right.
And has been having a wonderful competition out in America where it's being hosted this year. He's played all of their five games, in fact six now, and was the man of the match and scored in the game against Saudi Arabia. They were in the final last night against Mexico, unfortunately lost it 2-1. But Richards, I don't know if you saw it.
I actually did see it. Yeah, I saw it this morning.
Brilliant header.
It was a fantastic header. I wondered if it was actually over the line. I don't know if they had goal line technology, but it was very close to not being over the line. But fantastic header.
It was one of them ones where it wasn't like direct, was it? It was like up and down, and then it kind of hit the bar, bounced, and then came back out again.
It was only just in the penalty box.
Brilliant.
I mean, it makes it look so much better when it hits the crossbar, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does.
Any goal that hits the crossbar and goes in just looks better.
I'll be honest with you, though, he does that for Palace all the time, and he's so dangerous with his head. And the way that he just kind of, he jumps high, and you once he's left that ground, you don't want to mess with him because you'll be on the floor. He's a lovely guy, Chris Richards, like always smiling. We've met him a couple of times outside the stadium with the kids and stuff like that. He's just been absolutely brilliant with the fans. And I'm so glad that he's had a nice tour here with his international team. It's great.
Well, they're warming up, aren't they, for the World Cup next year. And there's a lot of pressure on the Americans to do well. So it's good that they got to the final. Mexico, I think they won it last time as well. So they're actually double champions now for them. They've got a good side.
They do.
Well done to Chris Richards. Unlucky you didn't win the final.
Yeah, it's good to see some Palace players doing well on the international stage.
So what else we got to talk about?
Well, I think we can, at this point, I'm about to mention our new training and travel wear for Crystal Palace.
Training and travel wear.
It used to just be called training kit.
Yeah.
Now it's called training and travel wear.
Nice.
We've seen the first new pictures of our new training kit. Now, this tends to be, here's the truth, this tends to be the items that get bought from the club shop once they go on sale at the end of the season. I say to my son, you know, on the last game of the season, you know that shirt you've been pointing me out for the last 20 odd games, it's now half price, do you want it? It's one of them, right?
Absolutely.
And it's got no resemblance to the club kit or anything, although there was a brilliant one from my perspective as a Palace fan. There was a great one last year that had kind of zigzag red and blue stripes. Brilliant. Absolutely. Like proper garish, but like yes, like Palace, as opposed to previous ones which had like Man City blue stuff like this, you know, just like generic sports, but just with the logo on.
What's the French president made for you this time?
Well, very good. This year, obviously, Macron again, and it's either red or blue this year, but both colours like proper pop. They're like really kind of royal colours.
Right.
And what I quite like is the raised What do you mean? Do you know what I mean by like raised logo? So it's a bit like, you know, like the crocodile on the Lacoste where it kind of comes out a little bit. Yeah. I'm excited about that actually, because it feels like it's different. It's not like a recycled version, and they look quite premium and nice. Also, just while we mentioned about kit, we haven't got our kit yet. We haven't got that.
Are you getting a new one?
Well, I'd hope so. But I mean, do you know what? To be honest with you, they've just ordered a massive amount of last year's ones on a second order, which have come in because everyone wanted them because they wanted their winners 25 because they wanted to be like me,
commemorate
walking around. Yeah. There will be a new kit. But just talking of your new kit, I've got an update for you about this whole is it pink, is it purple situation, because I'm not the only person that thinks that. There's been a couple of people. There's Lindsay, who believes that it is in fact pink. And also purple. we've got a guy called Tony who's been listening to this podcast since episode one. He's a Palace supporter. He sent us a lovely message, and he also said, I quote, also the Brighton away, he doesn't say shirt, by the way, he misses the R out, is definitely pink. So there we go. Tony said it. It's fact.
You're all wrong. It's purple.
I have seen quite a few people online sharing pictures of your player wearing the pink kit,
purple kit
next to Barney, the kid's character. I don't know if you've seen that.
You mean the purple dinosaur?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not comparable in colour. Obviously, yours is more pink than purple. But it's interesting, you see, because you seem adamant that it's not pink. And I have been told a few times, by the way, that I might be a little bit not okay with my colours. That is a thing.
The purple kit is really lovely. I went to the club shop this weekend.
Did you?
The brand new mega store.
Is it mega?
It's
did you walk in and just go, this is mega?
I did, yeah. That's exactly how I felt. It's really good, actually. It's a really nice club shop. Those who haven't been yet.
It looks like a Sports Direct.
There is a feel.
Yeah.
I take what you're saying, yeah. Obviously, there's a lot more space. You've got an escalator. You've got two floors. Do you know the one thing that I really loved more than anything, which isn't for sale, but I just really enjoyed it, right? So when you go... So you're up, anyone that goes to the club shop, right, take note of this. You go upstairs, and on the way to get back downstairs to the exit and everything into the ground floor, you go by these stairs sort of through a little corridor and down some stairs. In that corridor, there's two things that I love. One, there's Brighton Hove Albion wallpaper, and the wallpaper is all of last season's programmes.
Well, the actual programmes.
So it's like a print, all done. And anyone that knows, obviously, last year's programmes, all the Brighton fans will know this. Last year, we got a guy by the name of Jamie, I don't know if it's Eke is his surname. So props to him. Fantastic illustrator. He got basically the gig to draw every single programme last season. And it was fantastic. I'm just going to show you, Andy, just so you can see. Look, some of those programs there, look, all the different players and themes, they're done like comic sort of style.
I was about to say, it's almost comic book, isn't it?
Yeah, and sort of like superhero and all this sort of stuff. It's just such a beautiful thing. Anyway, so the store has now created those into like a wallpaper, and they go down the wall.
That's amazing.
It's so cool. And then just to top it all off, right at the top, as you can tell I'm getting old, right? Yeah. I looked up and the lights in the top of the hallway are... like abstract seagull lights. So they're like diagonal sort of white things with like the light shining through them and stuff. And they're really cool design seagulls that are like flying overhead and stuff. Anyway.
You have to be careful not to walk underneath them though, right?
Exactly. Don't want to get...
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a really lovely experience going to the new shop. The point I'm raising is that I went there.
I thought you'd get there in the end.
Yeah,
what's
I did. That the shirts were there, obviously, and I had a nosy at the shirts.
Oh, okay.
Really, really nice for a start. And I'm more of a fan of the home shirt now than I was because, to be honest, when you see it online, I agree, it doesn't look that spectacular. But actually, when you see it in the full kit, so for when you actually see the players playing it, it's going to look really nice. It's quite a deep blue, and the other little shades of colour that are on it are really nice. But the away one... Andy, it's purple.
Okay.
Tony, it's purple. Okay?
Yeah.
But it's really nice, mate.
Two things to mention here.
Go on.
Right. Firstly, imagine that pink shirt on a 3XL football fan with a beer belly. You won't be saying it looks so nice then. And secondly, I've heard quite a few bits online this week. I don't know whether you've heard about this as well. And it may be absolute rubbish. This is why I'm asking you.
Okay.
Which is that apparently the Brighton shirts that are for sale are not the same shirt that the players are wearing.
Well, I can't say one way or the other, but I agree that that I think is true. I think what it is, but I think also this is true for most squads.
Okay.
Because, anyway, well, let's say most Nike squads.
Right.
And the reason, because Nike have a, you've seen it when you buy a shirt sometimes or a training top, they have this thing called dry fit.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like a sort of an airy athlete sort of fit sort of stuff.
But well, like active fit or something,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's all these different sort of names they've got for it, but the concept being that either it'll keep you cool or air things better or whatever. So yeah, the actual first team squads and the Brighton squads, yeah, they will have this type of material and design, whereas the replica ones don't have it. And yeah, it's a bit strange.
You're still paying 70 quid for a shirt that doesn't have active fit.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's a bit much, isn't it?
I mean, the whole conversation about kits generally is a bit of a rip-off, isn't it? We know that, and yet we're stuck with it, really. The only thing I would say is, having seen the kits in person, they're much nicer when you see them in person. I was a little bit skeptical online. But yeah, so I'm excited to see, I honestly am excited to see what Palace do this season with their kit, if they are getting a new one, because it's going to be one that it's going to go down in history a little bit, isn't it? If they're going to be playing in Europe, which I know we don't know that, but likely is they're going to be playing in Europe, then it's going to be something that people are going to remember.
I don't know. I mean, I loved the kit 2 years ago. That was my favourite. And I've just got, I don't know, I've got this strange feeling and I'm probably way off and I've got nothing to base this on. But the Palace fans out there remember the TDK one that with the white collar. And that's the one that I remember in my peak childhood of supporting a football club. And you remember like Lombardo and a few of the others of that era kind of, and like there's, I wonder whether they're going to try and go a bit retro iconic next year as opposed to, but let's see. I mean, look, I quite like what they've done. I think they've kind of embraced the South London feel with it. And there's kind of been, there's like that, the black third kit that we've had in the last couple of years with the kind of graffiti on it. And I like the fact that it feels South London and that it's kind of embracing that South London and proud thing. And the behind the, you know, like the subtle Crystal Palace bit underneath shirt and stuff like that. So I trust them. I think they'll do a good job. I think it's normally the second kit that's a bit lame, that yellow one. But let's see what happens. And I'm excited about it. I think that's one of the most exciting things when they reveal a new kit and you're either overwhelmed or underwhelmed. There's not really much in between, is there?
Absolutely. No one's ever whelmed.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Right, what else are we going to talk about?
Yeah, we should move on. Yeah. Injury updates.
Okay. Yeah, good point, Ashley.
Right, we talk about transfers in. We talk about all these new exciting and how Brighton have spent £72 million on 15-year-olds. However, yes, Palace haven't done much business, but we've got some good news this week because I have been informed by my reasonable sources that Cheick Doucouré and Chaddy Riad, who you'd never heard before, are now back in training.
Oh.
And not only have I heard that, I've also seen it. So no one from the club's actually gone, they're back, but I've seen them back.
You've been on the training ground.
I've just seen pictures of them on the training grounds, right, running up and down. And then I've done a bit of research and I've spoken to a few people and I found out that, yes, they are back and they're both looking like they're going to be hopefully ready for the start of season and be in contention. So Doucouré missed a chunk of last season due to a big knee operation.
Right.
And so he's returning to full fitness. And don't forget, and I don't know if you remember this, but Doucouré, we turned down some stupid money offers from Liverpool last year for this guy. And he's kind of gone off the radar because since then, obviously, we've had Wharton in and like it's all been about the old Eze and Mateta and all the other bits and pieces. Yeah. But he was a key player for us under Hodgson in that kind of midfield. So it's going to be great to have him back to give us a few more options. And he'll be great to see out some of them games where you want to kind of shore it up and so on. And also, yes, Chaddy Riad, he ruptured his cruciate ligament. Do I sound like a doctor when I say that? And has only played one league game for Palace since signing from Betis last summer. He's only played one league game. He played a league and a cup game.
And what is he? What
He's a defender.
Defender, you said. Right,
he's a defender. Okay. And he came back. He came in under kind of, he was one of them ones which is like, watch this guy. He's going to be great.
Right.
And
okay.
I really do think he is going to be great. I think the Palace fans are going to go, who's he? When he comes back, because he literally, I mean, it was just a massive anticlimax. It's like, I'm here. No, I'm injured.
Yeah. I know that one.
And a year's gone by. So he is going to be like a new signing for us. He's back running and really good sign. So I'm really happy about that. It's like a new signing for us this year.
I think that's really good news, isn't it? Anytime you can see some of your players getting back, and especially ones that are, you know, so new to the squad, so new to the team, and then suddenly they get injured, it's just such a horrible feeling. Speaking of injury news, Brighton also have got a very similar story. I'm sure everyone will remember Ferdi Kadioglu, who we signed right at the beginning of last season. And he got a handful of games under his belt. Last game he played for us was that really great game that I called my game of the season against Liverpool at Anfield.
Oh, yeah, the one you lost.
Yeah, the one we lost, where he scored as well, though. So, yeah, he's back now. He's fit. Well, I say fit. So I think everyone's seen pictures of him online and within the squad, in the gym, etc., when they show those pictures of all the team getting back together. He's also posted on his own Instagram a few weeks back of him literally on the grass doing exercise and all that sort of stuff. So that's really good news to see him back. What I would say is Fabian Hörsler did sort of drop a little hint the other week that he's probably about 2 or 3 weeks behind all the actual fit players that are coming back. So all I would say to the Albion fans is don't be surprised if you don't see much of Ferdi Kadioglu in the preseason games.
Yeah.
He'll probably be, you know, coming back to full fitness by sort of, you know, mid-September time, I would imagine, by the time he gets really full on. So hopefully we'll see him a little bit in and out, but don't be shocked if you don't see him thinking, oh God, where is he, sort of thing.
Regardless of who you play for, it's wonderful to see people come back to full health, because it must be so hard for them. The whole world falls down when they get injured, don't they?
Exactly. You know, these guys, all they live for is football, and then suddenly for it to be taken away. So, yeah, good news all around, hopefully.
Oh, that's good. Should we move on to something a bit different, Neil?
Let's.
Welcome back to our brand new segment, Strange Footballing Rivalries. Each week, we're diving headfirst into one of football's weirdest, pettiest, or most downright ridiculous grudges. The ones that make you sit there and wonder, how did this even become a thing? Because some clubs fall out over European finals. Others fall out because someone set off the sprinklers mid-penalty shootout or stole the beloved mascot costume and ransomed it for 50 quid and a kebab. And honestly, some of these make the Palace Brighton Hate Fest look like a perfectly sensible spat over a Sunday lunch. So buckle up. It's Strange Footballing Rivalries time, and this week we're digging into the bizarre beef between Coventry and Sunderland.
With the clubs being over 200 miles apart, Coventry and Sunderland is another strange rivalry that needs explaining. And the place to start is with one person.
This is BBC One.
Good evening, and would you expect me to say anything else but welcome to Match of the Day, and it's great to be back on Saturday night.
The inimitable Jimmy Hill, who did most things in his football career. A player, a manager, chairman, and for most people growing up in the 80s and 90s, a Match of the Day host and pundit. But he is also known for igniting the rivalry between Coventry City and Sunderland. Rewind back to the 1976-77 season and a dubious case of a delayed kickoff from which the effects are still being felt to this day. Coventry needed to defeat Bristol City on the final day to stay up, and Sunderland knew a draw would be enough to keep them up. So, in a bid to give his Sky Blues an edge, Hill, in his capacity as managing director, delayed kickoff by 15 minutes, citing crowd congestion. It would never happen today, but Jimmy Hill's influence allowed Coventry the benefit of knowing what was happening elsewhere. Sunderland fell to a 2-0 defeat, with a good portion of Coventry and Bristol City's game still to go. Hill even went as far as putting the Sunderland score on the big screen for all to see, enabling Coventry and Bristol City to play out a 2-2 draw that secured mutual safety and relegated Sunderland. Unsurprisingly, Sunderland were incensed, and an inquiry into Hill's ability to get the Coventry kickoff delayed was heard, but he and the club were cleared of all wrongdoing. But for Sunderland, the fans will never forget. Ever since that May afternoon in 1977, there have been good memories and bad for both sides when they have played each other. Coventry winger Stephen Froggatt was forced to retire before turning 30, having suffered a horrific injury in a fixture between the two clubs. While fan trouble has engulfed the fixture inside and outside the respective grounds on numerous occasions. For pure entertainment, you'd have to go back to April 2019. Sunderland, aiming for an instant return to the Championship off the back of successive relegations from the Premier League, hosted a Coventry side with little to play for in the final weeks of the season. Little, that is, except for inflicting more pain on their rivals from afar. A 9-goal thriller ensued between the two sides, with Coventry leaving Wearside with all 3 points from a classic 5-4. It featured 9 different goalscorers. It also ensured Sunderland fell behind Barnsley in the race for automatic promotion. Coventry took great pride in ensuring the Black Cats had to go through the playoffs, where they would eventually lose to Charlton in the Wembley final. But it's not all misery for Sunderland. In fact, just a few weeks ago, the Black Cats finally walked across Coventry's path and got the richest revenge of all. The two teams met in the EFL Championship playoff semi-final in May. And leading 2-1 from the first leg, Sunderland conceded a late goal at home to push the game into extra time. Penalties looked like the only way to decide this hugely important game for both clubs. But as the clock ticked into the last 30 seconds of added time, Sunderland's Lee Ballard headed home from a corner, creating one of the greatest moments in recent history for the long-suffering Mackens. Coventry were beaten. Sunderland were on their way to Wembley, where they would book their place in the promised land of the Premier League. And so, for now, this strange but intense rivalry will be on hold for at least a season. Laid dormant until the next spark ignites it again.
Neil, that's very professional. Honestly.
Thanks, mate.
Don't you think? I mean, those who are listening at home or wherever you are, I mean, you might be walking your dog, you might be, I don't know, doing whatever you're doing. That's irrelevant, to be fair. What is relevant is the production value of what you've just produced. I mean, we've got clips, we've got tuck music, we've got voiceovers, we've got intro and outro music. I mean, are you auditioning for a job at the BBC? What's going on in here?
I mean, if anyone wants to give me a job, then please let me know. Absolutely, yeah.
Bless you. Honestly, no, I'm not taking the mic. Genuinely, brilliant. Really, really good. I've learned something. I've learned something again.
It's an amazing rivalry, isn't it?
Mostly. Do you know what the biggest thing I've learned?
Go on.
My geography's awful.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought they hated each other because they were down the road.
Oh no, they're miles away.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. Anything above the N25, Neil, I'm in trouble. And I know that's a famous saying, but it's true, right? I mean, look, we're closer to France than we are to Coventry or Sunderland here.
Well, that's the point, though, isn't it? That this is why we do this series. So we're going to do another 3 or 4, maybe 5 of these altogether, because there's some really strange rivalries out there, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
And you know, that story of the, in 1977, I think it was, as the VT said, so it's an amazing thing. And Jimmy Hill, what a little rascal he was.
Well, I'll be honest with you, for me, I mean, what am I? I'm what, 41? I had to think about that. I'm 41 now,
yeah.
Neil,
yeah, yeah.
Right? And for me, Jimmy Hill was the sweet old guy that said, "Welcome to Match of the Day."
There you go.
Was that a good impression?
No, not really, but I got it.
Okay, Can we do something like that with like the post edit? Make it sound a bit better.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course.
But yeah, I didn't really kind of. Yeah, I had no. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I even knew too much about what Jimmy Hill did before Match of the Day. Do you know what I mean? I feel disappointed with Jimmy now. Honestly,
I mean,
tarnished his memory in my head.
I think, you know, if it's your team, brilliant situation. As I said in the VT, it wouldn't happen today, but what a fantastic story. I completely understand why Sunderland hate it so much and hate that whole situation so much. And they've had rotten luck against Coventry, really, over the years.
Mm. Oh, hang on a minute, Neil, sorry. We're in the middle of the podcast. It's the legal team again. It's the third time, guys.
What?
Look, they're saying that he was cleared of anything.
He was.
And that he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, well,
we need to say that in, like, yeah.
No, we don't. He's dead. He's fine. But it's just an amazing story, you know, and the rivalry just continues. What I love about it is the fact that just this season past, Sunderland got the ultimate revenge.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And to do it in the way that they did it, in those last few seconds before the final whistle of the semi-final at home, I just think that's just such an amazing, you know, amazing story arc, as it were, to tell. And it's just really congratulations to Sunderland again for being able to call themselves Premier League again.
It's brilliant.
Commiserations to Coventry. But just as a rivalry, just such a great story. I just enjoyed the fact that Sunderland got some sort of revenge in the ultimate way, really. And that's strange rivalries. That's just the way it works. That something happens, kicks it off, and you're rivals forever. That's just the way it is, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to, Neil. What you've got in store for us next week in episode 3 of the audiobook.
Well,
you could make your own series out of this, you know.
Oh, maybe I will, actually, yeah.
Branch off. Do like a sideline.
All right, fair enough. Good story. I like that, yeah.
Eagle Seagull Publications.
Well, you're right, Andy, yeah. So part 3 of Strange Footballing Rivalries. We'll be back next week.
Nice one.
Right, what is there left to discuss? The fun bit again. You know the bit.
Are you dancing for us or what?
Transfer
rumours. Yes, okay. Palace can do rumours.
Yeah, exactly.
We just don't do facts much
at
the moment.
Come on, we can do this. This is great fun because this is just conjecture. This all is right. Just like, you know, Messi's coming to Selhurst and all that sort of stuff.
Do you want me to start?
Go on, you've always been start. You always start, it's fine.
All right. Well, I mean, I haven't got much to say, but yeah, go on.
That's why I always let you start.
Eze's probably going still.
Boring.
Gaye's probably going still.
Boring.
Although we're saying that Gaye's going, but there's been rumours about some kind of part exchange deal.
Oh.
Is it Doak?
Ben Doak.
Yep. And apparently we're interested in him and we can't work out what that works in the part exchange. So we're like, nah, sod that. If you can't come up with 68 million, he ain't going nowhere.
Got it.
And that's pretty much where we're at. So,
okay. That's going to rumble on,
if you're
it?
A Palace fan and you don't know that, probably not worth being a Palace because it's so readily out there. There's no shock here.
Fair enough.
So, yes, but apparently they have been talking to Eze. I think he wants to go, but they're just arguing over money.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to rumble on, which is why I'm not going to rumble on about it.
Any others?
Yes, there is one that I think probably will happen.
In or out?
Out.
Right.
That we spoke about in the Nest Test,
one
of our features.
Yeah.
Probably about a month ago now, I think. We haven't actually done another one then. Maybe we should in the next couple of weeks. We spoke about a guy you'd never heard of, but you enjoyed his name, Rak-Saki.
Ah, yes.
A good little footballer, and he's one that really hasn't done much in a Palace shirt, certainly not under Glasner. He got his chance under Hodgson, and I think there was rumours, if you remember, of him...
He might not necessarily want to stay.
Yeah, he was kind of saying that he... Glasner kind of implied that he wouldn't adapt his style of play and was like, I don't want to do it. So then Glasner's like, well, off you go on loan
later.
Yeah. So now it's a bit awkward, really, because he's now come back after his loan at Sheffield United after clearly doing a decent job over there, and he has. And they now have Southampton were interested in him, and I think still are, but we now have a proper interested party, Rangers.
Oh, okay.
So we want 10 million for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we want. And that's what we had some bids rejected. We rejected some bids for him about a year ago for 10 mil. They want to pay a bit less or take a loan to buy a deal. But it's quite widely reported that Rakitić probably will leave this year. And I, for one, as I said in the Nest Test in the previous episodes, I wish him all the best. And I just know he's going to be a good player.
Well, I mean, it sounds like Russell Martin was the interested party by the sound of things. If Southampton were interested and now Rangers, then Russell Martin's the man, isn't it? He's obviously the one that wants him. So,
interesting. He's a, honestly, anyone who ends up with him, he will turn into a good player. Yeah. He just doesn't want to play our system.
No, no, fair enough.
So there you go. And then in terms of ins for us, we...
Surely you've got loads of rumours of ins.
Well, yes and no, though, Neil, because I think I could, mate, I could sit here for the next 2 years and tell you everyone we've been linked with.
Yeah.
But a load of nothing, it's all really absolute rubbish. So
right.
I think we're gonna go for less is more approach.
Yep.
I think
that's sensible.
The ones that I think will actually happen. Obviously, look, we know the Dio Monde thing where we spoke about it last week.
Still rumbling on. I mean, it sounds like it's pretty much done, doesn't it?
I know, and I feel like I was right, though, because remember I was hesitant to say it was a done deal, and I think it's because. Gaye Europa League, let's not open that can of worms, but I think it's almost on pause.
Yep.
And I think that we've probably agreed terms, a hefty amount of money, but it's still not signed. He's probably still filming his entrance video
as we
speak. Now there's a new one here.
Oh.
David Calabria.
Ah, the Italian guy. Yeah, I heard about this today.
Can I just say I just enjoyed saying his name there?
Yeah, you did it very well, mate.
I said it with conviction.
You did.
Which means that even if it's wrong, it's right.
And no one will ever know that we cut this four times, so it'd be brilliant.
You're not meant to tell him that.
Oh, sorry.
28-year-old defender.
Yeah.
Capable of playing on either side of the back line, which is quite handy.
Yeah.
He's an AC Milan player. Will I say that?
Well, like I say, he's...
He's a free agent.
Yeah.
But he was on loan at Bologna at the start of last season. He has had 7 appearances for Italy, 272 appearances for AC Milan, and he's got Europa and Champions League experience, which is wonderful.
Oh, yeah. No, this guy is a very experienced player.
Yeah.
And look, Italy defender, you can't go wrong, can you, really?
No, absolutely not.
Do you know what I mean? If you pick up an Italian defender, you're pretty much going to be okay. You know what they can do and they can do it well. Mm. But this guy, how old is he, did you say?
28.
I mean, I think, again, it's like the other chap that you know you're going to be buying from, the Croatian guy.
Mm.
They're both really seasoned professionals. This guy, though, David, I was going to say David, it's not David.
Ah.
He has got a wealth of experience.
Oh, he's going to be brilliant. Apparently, though, I'm sure it's this guy, and I apologise to David if it's not. I'm first name terms on him already. That I believe he had some kind of row with his manager.
Oh, right.
Which is why he might have gone out on loan. So I'm hoping that there's no kind of underlying issue there. But look, I think Glasner, this is our first... opportunity to sign Glasner players who play his system, bearing in mind everyone else had to adapt to his system. So I'm quite excited about that. I really am. And do you know what's great news? We mentioned it earlier. To sum this up, because we've lost Joel Ward. He's retired, which means that in the defensive position that he plays, the backup to Munez on right wing is 34-year-old Nathaniel Clyne, who's just signed a 1-year extension on his contract. But that's where we're at. Or we're going kind of to some players like Kapora, who's just come up from the under-21s and played 5 minutes against Arsenal last season. So again, if this comes off, left winger, right winger, goalkeeper, we've actually covered off our coverage that we should have sorted in January, is the truth of the matter.
What's really interesting as well, you know, we were talking about Borna Sosa earlier, and I was saying that he's much more attacking-minded than Tariq Mitchell. This is the other way around.
Yeah.
So now they're getting a squad player who could play maybe right wing-back, but actually he's a lot more defensive-minded. So again, you're building the squad that is sensible in the way that you may want to play when you're getting up against maybe, let's say, bigger teams, especially in Europe or whatever, where maybe you don't want two marauding wing-backs, but you do want the option. And vice versa, you might want to defend or attack, depending on what you want to do. So, yeah, it's a sensible buy. Dare I say it, it really is.
It is. And here's an interesting one to the Palace fans and something to snooze off for the Brighton fans, which is that only five Italians... do you know what? I can hear that noise in the middle of the night through the walls.
I hope that's all you can hear.
Yeah, well, actually, we'll talk about that later. Only five Italians have ever played for Palace's first team. Can you imagine that? Only five.
Five?
Over all that time.
Blimey.
So... I don't know how we want to play this, but for those Palace... Mate, I'll tell you what we do, Neil.
Go on.
Rather than make a Brighton fan guess Palace players...
I can only think of one, if I'm honest.
Okay, probably the most famous one.
Yeah, the bald one.
Yeah, okay, all right. I think everyone knows that one.
Yeah.
But, in fact, I actually mentioned him earlier on
you
the
did.
Podcast.
Yeah, anyone
but
wants to listen?
If anybody on the social media can mention all five, we'll give the first person a shout out next week.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a good idea. Good idea. I like that.
All right. So first person to mention the five Italians that have ever played in the Palace's first team. I'll give you a clue. We're talking two from 97, two from 98 and one from 04-05 season. Went for a bit of a phase there, didn't we, of Italians.
That's interesting. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
I remember in the team that I remember as a kid, there was two of them that were playing.
Right.
One from Juventus. In fact, both from Juventus. And I thought we'd made it.
We were in the championship and we
signed two players from Juventus. Do you know what I mean? It's the equivalent of signing Ronaldo back then for me. let me know, guys, if you can work that one out.
Lovely. Okay. All right. Any other transfer rumours for Palace before we close? I've got a couple from a Brighton point of view, but Palace anymore?
No, look, there are a million more, but let's wait and see what happens. But hopefully the ones we've mentioned will happen.
Fair enough.
Go on, Neil. Tell us all about it.
It's strange. A few weeks back, I wasn't expecting so much business. I really wasn't. As we keep talking about, we've got so many players. We are obviously... What we're doing is we're obviously saying to Fabian Hursley now, you know, we need a slightly different type of player that we're looking for. And so we're making those changes subtly as we go through. I am expecting a lot more levers before the window closes. The likes of Estupiñán, which we've already spoken about, Inciso, Sima, Sarmiento, one defender, maybe Igor, our left-sided central defender, sounds like he's probably on his way out as well. Possibly even Evan Ferguson, which I would be really upset if he does go, but, you know, it might be the time. There have been a few rumblings over the last couple of days that he's been offered to a couple of Italian clubs. So we'll have to see what happens with that. But sort of rumours that either won't go away or are just surfacing. One is Matt O'Reilly, still rumbling on. There's still a few things going around.
Mate, he's off.
It just feels like it, doesn't it? Like the player himself doesn't want to be here, maybe. But the Gazzetta dello Sport is actually reporting, which, you know, they're notoriously sensational, let's say, but they are a fairly good source when it comes to Italian football. They are the main sort of source for a newspaper when it comes to football in Italy. And they're reporting that Roma are very interested in him. And I would argue that's a really good fit, Italian football, for Matt O'Reilly, because I don't think he has the pace for the British game.
Mate, I'll be honest, as you know, couldn't care too much about who Brighton are signing, apart from interest from the podcast, and that's something that I've heard as well. So that is pretty common knowledge.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I think there's a few other interested parties as well, actually.
I'm sure there will be. The other one I wanted to mention, and it's a player that I absolutely love, but we haven't actually seen properly in a Brighton shirt yet, apart from the odd pre-season, and that's a kid that we bought last summer by the name of Malik Yalcourier. Now, Malik Yalcourier is...
I've taken you off your flow. I just love the fact that you pronounced that brilliantly, but then were so proud of yourself, you said it again.
Yeah, I did. I just felt like I had to say it again.
Do you know what I mean? Can you just go one more time?
Yeah, sure. So Malik Yalcourier is a 19-year-old midfielder. We bought him from Gothenburg last summer.
Okay.
And we sent him straight out on loan. I think a lot of that was because it would be difficult for him to get a work permit for the UK originally.
Yeah.
But we sent him out to Sturm Graz in Austria, who are a very big team in Austria. They won the league and they also play in the Champions League.
Wow.
So he played the full Sturm Graz Champions League journey, which was only the league phase, but they played all eight games. He won the Austrian League Young Player of the Season. He's a midfielder that played really everywhere across the midfield. He played on the wing, he played defensive midfielder. The rumours are that he is possibly going on loan to Hoffenheim in Germany, which would be a step up because he's obviously going from the Austrian league to the German league. That's the rumour, but there's also a suggestion that maybe we'll keep hold of him, but we've got so many midfielders, I'm not sure what will happen. The reason I wanted to bring it up is because I want to put it on record that I think this kid has everything needed to become a world-class midfielder.
You should probably let him play for your actual team then, shouldn't you?
I think it's because he hasn't got a lot of game experience yet, although he's played one full season in Austria. But when you see potential, you know what I mean? You just look at it and you just think, wow, this kid has got so much. Yeah. And it's not that he is overly sort of skillful or flash or anything like that. The person that I would like him to, and you're going to go, what the hell are you doing? And I'm sorry, I don't want to put any pressure on the kid, but the person that I would liken him to is Kante.
What the hell are you doing?
Thank you. He very similar style.
You Kante do that. Very good.
I can take. It doesn't work.
No.
The point
be careful
being,
with that as well.
Yeah, the point being is that he's got a huge amount of potential and I'm really excited to see him, but I also think he might go out on loan this summer. And yeah, Hoffenheim are swimming about those waters trying to get hold of him. So we'll see what happens. Incoming, I can't imagine we need any more players, but
something tells me you're not stopped there though.
No, I think with the number of players that are probably looking to leave the club, or Brighton are looking to leave the club, and the amount of money that we already had in place, and the fact that we've just sold one of our biggest players, they may want to spend big on one last person, whoever that might be. And I just think if something suitable, like a suitable opportunity comes along, it introduces itself, I think we may go for it right near the last week of the transfer market and put in a really big offer for one big player. Possibly Harvey Elliott, possibly someone else. But I just feel like
Harvey Elliott will come to your club.
No, I don't. If I'm honest,
no offense, I
agree.
Cuckoo land there, mate.
I don't think he will either, actually. Yeah. I would love him, but I don't think he will. I just get the feeling we're sitting in a really good position now. The next few weeks, we'll probably see players leave. We'll get that clear. And then there may be an opportunity near the end of the window if there's certain teams that may need to sell some players because they've got too many or they PSR issues or whatever. I think Brighton could swoop in. So we'll just have to keep an eye on it and we'll let you all know what's going on here.
Yeah, you've got to be careful, mate, because there's not enough parking space in the car park for the training ground. Do you know what I mean?
Build double level or something.
Yeah, it's all gone Pete Tong, isn't it?
It is
what
a bit crazy at the moment.
One extreme to the other, aren't we, really, at the moment?
Right, that's your lot from us this week. Another Seagull Eagle episode unleashed for your questionable enjoyment.
Do us a favour. That's aggressive.
Do us a favour.
Do us a favour, hit follow, subscribe and tattoo it to your nan, whatever it takes to make sure you never miss an episode again.
You'll also find us parading around TikTok, Facebook, Insta and X. So expect clips, arguments and the odd embarrassing confession.
Got gossip, a rant or my mate swears he saw Reze at IKEA? Ping it over to seagulleaglepodcast@gmail.com. We really do read them and we're still waiting for that first email.
We'll be back next week with fresh transfer chaos, more moaning, and the usual regrets.
Until then, eagle!